Hello and welcome to Better by the Minute Live with Becca. My name is Becca Dukes-Kozak and I am honored to bring to you a brighter side of all aspects of life. I was talking to a good friend of mine about what Black History Month means to him, and I know today is March 1st, but his view, coming from the position as a Black man who has served his country and is currently in a career in law enforcement, just really spoke to me. And I am excited that he said yes when I asked him to join us tonight. Rod, welcome to and thank you for agreeing to be my special guest this evening on Better by the Minute Live with Becca.
Thank you so much for having me. It really is an honor and look forward to these discussions that we usually have in private, but it needs to be said in the open. So I think it'd be a good idea to say these things and having different backgrounds definitely helps with experience and understanding people.
And understanding people, you have been able to experience a lot of different people in your lifetime, as both career, personal, family. And I think that you are an ideal person to have this conversation with. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on with me. Now, when we're talking Black history and coming together, share with us a little bit about what that coming together means to you.
Well, coming together is recognizing that everyone has a need and everyone has a purpose. And I don't think it has anything to do or a lot to do with color or race or religion. It's just the bottom line. We need to have that love. And in those situations, we realize the history that's been made through Black history has not just come from Black people. I mean, I'm from Mississippi where a lot of racism and a lot of Black history records that has been broken and boundaries has been crossed are not done because a lot of Black people were not in positions of authority. So for Black people to get things done, or any race, we need each other. And fortunately, a lot of people that we dealt with were people that had love in their hearts. They were white. They were Asian, they were Black. I mean, it takes unity to make things happen. And it shouldn't be based on race. It definitely has to be based on love. But overall, Black history is a celebration of all people, not just Black people, because without white people and people in high places, we could not have gotten a lot of things done. It's just something to remember that diversity is really needed and it's not a group of people that we're celebrating. It's the thing that we're accomplished together.
I love that. I love that. I know Martin Luther King had a dream, and that dream that he had then is not quite what some are portraying as being part of the dream. But I love how you mentioned that, you know, all of us coming together in unity is what Black history is about. So thank you so much for sharing that. Now, you had mentioned being or growing up in Mississippi and experiencing some racism yourself. I know you had shared with me a little story about you and your grandma in the doctor's office, and I couldn't believe it because you're not even 50 yet, and that was something that you experienced. Share with us.
Oh yeah, well, I'm pretty close to 50 though, but yeah, no, I'm not 50 yet. I got a couple more years, but as a young person, come from a small town in Mississippi with population maybe 3,000 by now. But I got sick in Mississippi while I was staying with my grandmother in high school and went to the doctor's office. And we were there from like 7:30 a.m. until after lunch, 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. But the door we went in, we went on the right side, which was a Black door. And I think the left side was a brown door, or maybe it was a lighter shade of Black. But I heard people talking on the other side. And I noticed my grandmother and I were the only two people in the doctor's office and no one else was there. But I could hear people on the other side. I'm like, why aren't we getting seen yet? So we stayed there from 7:30 a.m. until right after lunch, 1 o'clock, and I heard all these people. And I realized by the time I saw the doctor, I stayed in like 5 minutes. He checked me out, told me I had a sore throat and sinus infection, gave me a shot and some antibiotics and sent me home. And he was a very good doctor. But the town, after years of realizing why I waited so long, I realized I was waiting because he saw all the white people first and that I was in a segregated town still and the hospital was segregated. So we had to get seen last. And that took from 7:30 in the morning to 1 p.m. And I realized that that was in the late 80s. I mean, approximately 1988, if I'm correct. I was still in shock about, I was in a segregated town and didn't even know it.
Share with me, coming from the things that you've experienced, what do you see as being the biggest obstacle in removing those barriers?
Well, I think the biggest obstacles is the way people learn and the value of love. And love really shouldn't have or don't have any color or keep record. Or, you know, it's biblical that the Bible talks about what love really is. But the truth is, love don't keep record. Love don't count. Love don't have color or race. We have to have more unity and love. Unfortunately, people are raised in a different mindset. And you can't do a lot about that except for prove people wrong. As the Bible said, you kill them with kindness, but at the same time, you have to show people wrong by continuing to love and continue to break boundaries in unity. You have to break this separation with unity. Only thing that can be done. Because through the military, I worked with so many different races, and we had to be one team to make things work, regardless of your race. And then now that I work law enforcement and also in business, everything that you do cannot be one group of people and be successful. And if it is, it won't be for a very long time. So through all my experience, I realized that everyone needed everyone at all times, from white to Latino to Asian, which I have worked with everyone. And the one that has that love and want to get things done, we work together. And the ones that don't, you have to either kill them with kindness or you have to leave them alone.
I've noticed a lot in different things that I've been involved with, whether it was my career as a statistician or in manufacturing or you know, home business, that there are, and church is a big one, there are cliques. And whenever you have those cliques, it just brings so much tension to the area that it does make it hard to work together. So the fact that you bring up love and working together in unity and putting aside, you know, differences is so important. And I think it really needs to be heard that we have what's within us.
Yes, and that's so true. But I think that it's how you look at the differences of people. Just because you're different don't make you wrong or right. People look at people the way they're raised or the way you wear your clothes or dress or how you, wherever your background is, it don't make it wrong. And it should be a pleasant experience to experience something different in a person in the way they're raised. I mean, I hung around a lot of Filipino people. They eat totally different. The Mexican people eat different, dress different, listen to different music. The white people, we all different, but yet uniquely different. It should be celebrated, not tolerated. And it shouldn't be a hindrance or looked at as wrong just because you're different. Once we understand that it's a pleasure to learn different people and lifestyles instead of a hindrance, then we should all be fine with learning, living, and loving, and let one another be who we are without being deemed wrong.
I agree. Now, this brings me up just listening to you. It's incredible that you've made a career out of law enforcement and not in ministry, which... You have done, and I think that you have a great talent for that. So share with us a little bit what you've experienced or what you had experienced in ministry in regards to coming together in unity.
Well, definitely being from the Bible Belt of Mississippi and through the South, you do learn about spirituality, God, and religion, definitely. And we were taught to love, taught to sing, and taught to pray a whole lot. And I think adversity will bring a lot more prayer in your life. But I always love people, and I always love knowledge. And the Word of God taught me that, man, when you find out you can have someone to forgive your sins and you forgive them and you can start new at any time, it was so amazing to understand religion to that degree. But on the other hand, I have such a love for people that I end up talking so much in Bible class and talking so much in studies that I began to preach and became a deacon for about 3 years. And then I became an associate pastor and leader, different variants of leader in the church. And doing so, it was a great experience because you learn that God really doesn't look at your color. People does, but God doesn't see color. He sees love. It was a pleasure to preach for over 8 years And as a pastor, he learns so much to humble you as being a pastor, because the more you study, the more you realize what you don't know. And that even Jesus said there was two commandments, and the two commandments, the greatest two, were to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. When I realized that my place wasn't only in the pulpit, which I think I did quite well in the pulpit, but I wanted to live a lifestyle of love. I didn't want to live just having sermons and wearing nice clothes. I wanted to live a lifestyle of actually having the action of going in the midst of people seeing my love or seeing my sermon instead of hearing one.
That's beautiful. So you were talked about coming from the pulpit and love, and while in ministry as a pastor, people are watching you.
Yes. Well, people, I didn't come from the pastor background of someone who was raising me up as a pastor to the degree where I went to formal school. I went to school at a church that has a pastor program. So in that program, in that aspect, you have to deal with the real world more instead of just becoming someone who just went to school. So my plus was my military experience, my life experience, and then coming through the church after a lot of life, after the military and being married and having kids and all that at the moment. So you have a lot more reality in your life. I feel like in that route, the world gets a lot more of the real you instead of just the school you. And I think that that experience first helps you just be a real person. So when I preached, I did a lot of scripture, but also I shared a lot of real life with people. And people tend to connect when you can just be real with you and understand that you are a person, that God loves all of us and none of us are perfect.
Yeah, most definitely not. And I love the fact that we don't have to be perfect. And that, like you had said, we can start over in Christ. That's
exactly. And I think that everybody has a sermon, and it don't have to be the pulpit, but, you know, through our business ventures and the way we met and the way we live our lives. So I've always been into sports. I've always been into the body. Initially signed up to be a physical therapist, and the wait was like 4 years. So I ended up going to the military instead of waiting 4 years. That way I could get more money for school. And during my time in high school, I used to train my aunts and my brothers and friends, personal train them. And then I went to college. I basically was the personal trainer of the team, and then went to the military, and I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. So I got so in shape that people began to work out with me, and I was training them. And I went from there to coaching when I was preaching. I went to speak to a school to be a motivational speaker to help this school get ready for a football game. And next thing you know, I was into 5 years of coaching. So I've always loved the body. So I feel like everyone has a sermon, but you have to find your sermon place. It's not always in the church or on your own soapboxes. And your sermon is whatever your passion is. And I love the body. So I always find myself somewhere dealing with the body. Now I'm into natural health, and I love to help people with their health naturally. And we found a great company to help us do so. But that's always been my sermon, has been dealing with people in their body and health, whether it was outside or interior. But now I love helping people take care of themselves from the inside out now. Now that I know more about just building muscle or looking good on the outside, I have learned so much with helping people take care of their body from the inside out. So I think my sermon, although I do well in the church and I would be glad to go anytime someone asks me or be there, but I think my sermon is helping people with their health and living a lifestyle that shows love.
And that's love from the inside out and not just, you know, the physical love that a lot of people think of. I think the name of your business, so in addition to your career, you also have your own business, and the name of your business is Holistically You. And I think that is absolutely perfect, because you do come from experience that is life as a whole, where you're able to work with people and show them what it takes mentally, physically, spiritually, and financially, how to have a more holistic and better life. Well done on choosing your business name. I absolutely love that. And
thank you.
We're going to have a link to Holistically You on my website. So if you're interested in getting more information about Rod and his training, you can go to my website, betterbytheminutelife.com, and you'll be able to look up on the air and see Rod there and get some more information about him and his program and the services that he offers. Now, before we go a whole lot more into that, Rod, let's go back to, we're going to circle back around to law enforcement. You're someone who loves people, and you're in a very tough occupation. I mean, on the news, for those of you who have turned it on lately, I turn it right off. I don't want to hear the hate and all of the negativity that's going on in regards to law enforcement and how people are just far from having any unity. Share with me a little bit how this has affected you, ways that we can be empowered to make a difference and change the narrative of what's going on in our community.
Well, this whole thing that's been going on the last couple of years or more with law enforcement definitely has been a challenge. But I think the challenge is a personal challenge to each and every individual, because you have to do a self-check. As anywhere you go where people say, well, don't go there because those are all bad people. Don't go to church because those people just as bad as you are. Don't go over here because those are bad people. This is a foundation personal check. And I realized that no matter what people do around me, that my heart is right. I love people. I know the law. I follow the law. I don't abuse people, and I respect people, but my job is my job. And also my job is not who I am. It's what I do. So I make my job. I take the personal side out of it, because personally, I don't have anything to do as far as what crime people have committed. My job is to contain and maintain the situation at hand, but it's not personal. This is what I do. It's not exactly who I am, but through the love of God and the foundation that has been instilled in me, I still treat people as fairly as I can without breaking the law. So I can't get really distracted by what is going on around me. I have to realize who I am. And I'm a person who, to the best of my ability, serve right, serve my country right, serve people right, and do my job to the best of my ability, where when I get my paycheck, I have no regrets about what I do and how I've worked. And I can go to sleep every night saying, I did my best. So it definitely is a serious foundation check of each individual to work in unity and do things right. And if you see something wrong, there's a code of conduct law that says you have to say something or do something, because that makes you get the bad association if you know something's wrong and they'll do something about it. So there's a lot of self-check factors in law enforcement that need to be done, but it starts with the individual first, and then you come collectively with everybody else who have done their own self-check.
And coming from a self-check as a citizen.
First.
As a citizen first.
Citizen first, and as a person. And I mean, it's that what brings out the human race as a whole of who you are. It doesn't have anything about Rod, the law enforcement person, Rod, the black man from Mississippi, Rod, the former football player, whatever. It's about your self-check as a person, your integrity, of what you have committed and dedicated yourself to. And when you keep your word, and when you do those things, and if you don't do them, you shouldn't be able to sleep without doing right.
I know there's a lot of people in the world, I don't know how they sleep, period. But I guess there's some good herbs and medication and nutrition for that. But it's crazy with what is going on. And I have to, you know, sometimes remove myself from that whole situation and turning the TV off.
Well, it's a reality check that everyone who walks around and see things or don't see things is going to be brought to your face. And if you're a person that don't have integrity, it will be seen and you'll be noticed. Now it's going to be up to the people that in charge of those people, or these people who are not following the law correctly, it's going to be up to them, but there's no way it won't be seen or noticed for the thing that's going on.
So whenever you're out in the public, anywhere, what do you see as one of the kindest gestures that somebody can do just to show love for humanity?
I mean, honestly, it seems so simple, You know, I tell people all the time about being average and above average. Sometimes being above average does not take a lot. A smile and a hello to people is so rare now that when you just simply smile at people and speak to them in these days and time, it almost seems like you're going way above and beyond. But when I grew up, you could not pass a person without speaking to them or smiling or saying hello or helping them with their bags or opening the door. Small gestures make things big, and it carries far when you see other people do it. I've opened doors for people, and I see a kid come right behind me and open the next door for someone. So in that short time, you have taught someone a lesson of being kind. So just start with each other and being kind as possible with each other first.
I agree. I absolutely agree. We have to set the example, especially as adults. If we wouldn't want, you know, our kids treating somebody a certain way, what example are we setting for them as we are out and about and interacting or avoiding interaction with people? You know, going to the grocery store, if you don't say hi to somebody, there's like absolutely nobody talking.
Well, you know, I have a rule and things I've said my whole life is that whether you do it directly or indirectly, but you teach your kids everything they know. So when they see you not speaking, they don't speak. When they see you walking past people, they'll walk past people. But they pay attention to you. And sometimes your kids will make you so upset with them because they show you who you really are. And they'll tell you, well, you don't speak or you don't talk to people or you rush or you hurry up or whatever, but they see you first and they'll let you know real early. So the example you set may be the example you see and you might not like it because you're looking in the mirror. So make sure you're doing what you want to see, especially around kids and young people.
Absolutely. That goes from the time that they start paying attention just at a few months old to the time that they're walking and learning how to put their shoes on. All of these things goes into building the character of the child. And, you know, we don't really realize how much we are being watched sometimes. I really do think that as adults, we forget.
Well, but kids will let you know real soon. So Anna, once you forget, they're the first one to remind you. I'll let you know, which is good because yes, with kids, you get the pure heart and you get honesty, which as adults, we hold back and we don't want to hurt someone's feelings or whatever. But kids just tell you the unadulterated truth. And a lot of times we need that. I don't know how many times I thank my kids for telling me the truth, make me reassess my own self. And I appreciate that.
And I appreciate the honesty of children also. The fact that we as adults really have to watch what we say and do because we are setting that example. And I also appreciate this radio station as it is time for a break. You are listening to Better by the Minute Live with Becca on KSCO 1080 Santa Cruz. Mentioned a little bit about football. So you yourself have played football, but you've done more with football than just playing on your own. So share with us a little bit about that.
Oh, man. Well, I played football most of my whole life. I'm coming from small town Mississippi. It's a lot like Texas, you know, it's God then football. So we definitely love our sports in Mississippi. I guess from not having an NFL team, we really dedicate ourselves to high school and college. And when I came up, there was not a lot of Pop Warner or Junior League. So you make what we call the big league or nothing. So you make varsity or nothing pretty much. So we were raised to be very aggressive and tough, but most of all, it taught us about unity and you do your part to come together as the whole team. Everybody had a part and you need to do your part to be good. We were real good in football, but what I loved about it the most was the camaraderie and taking care of the bodies and seeing the transformation from being out of shape from the beginning of the summer or end of the spring until summer. And I loved taking care of the body from then, from playing football, from high school to junior college and then going to Jackson State, which I didn't really play a lot at Jackson State. I just wanted to play at Jackson State. I ended up going to the military, but after going to the military, I ended up coaching the high school team in California for 5 years. But I've always coached or personal trained in every aspect, especially football. And after getting out of the military, right before I got out of the military, I tore up my knee. And when I tore up my knee, I got back in shape because I always felt like I could go higher than I was at. And I tried out for the NFL and got second looks by a lot of the West Coast teams, which was my passion. They're very, very dedicated to the game of football and the teamwork and the unity and camaraderie. So yes, love me some football.
I love that you had mentioned that you had coached at the high school level. And let's go ahead and get into health and fitness. We had talked earlier part of the program about unity and coming together, and sports is one fabulous way to introduce our kiddos to a way that they can come together as one, no matter who they are, no matter what color of skin they have, no matter where they're from, but creating that unity. Go ahead and share with us a little bit what you learned about unity at the high school level while you were coaching high school football.
Well, it's very unique because in high school football, every kid is trying to come into his own and everybody feel like they can be the one or they want to be the one. But football is one of those sports where everyone counts and every second counts. So if the person beside you is not blocking, then you're going to get blocked by somebody else or you're going to get your block knocked off if you don't have the help of your teammate. So in high school, and you had the high school that I was coaching at in California, we had a pretty diverse group, mostly white, Latino, and some black. But the whole idea was they didn't understand football at all. It was a private school that wanted something else to do to grow their football program, which was a great opportunity to teach kids from zero, which is a whole nother topic, to have a fresh start before the mindset get tainted by the world. We had the kids fresh, never played football, and everyone wanted to outdo each other. Lo and behold, when they lost the first two games, they realized we can't do it by ourselves. So it was great to teach the kids unity, teach them how to play together. And just to see those kids with so many different backgrounds come together and treat each other like family in as little as one season, literally looking for each other on the field and can't wait and knowing that they're going to be accountable for their teammate and want their teammate to be accountable for them. It was a beautiful sight to see kids that would not hold a conversation to come out there to hugging each other and depending on each other by the end of the season. It was just a beautiful sight to show what unity really is.
And they were celebrating with each other.
Celebrating big time, win or loss.
Win or lose, we celebrate successes, we celebrate, I don't like to use the word failures, but learning experiences.
Yes.
And it's all done together. With that, again, holistically you, we're looking at the whole thing, mindset, body. Health is really important, especially when you're exerting the body like you do in sports. And it can start at any age. I know my oldest was playing soccer in kindergarten. I knew then what I know now and the importance of nutrition. He may have been able to go farther than his second year in college on a baseball scholarship, but then had to quit because of an injury. let's talk about what we can do for our kids in the realm of nutrition to help support their bodies as they are so active now. We want to keep their bodies strong. What can we do?
Well, first of all, I think it's so important to have the knowledge. The kids want bigger muscles and they all want to look good and they begin to grow. So they all want to look good first. But we teach them about being able to last through the game, being able to have sustained energy, being able to recover from injuries even quicker. It's very important to create healthy habits. And kids are not really interested in habits, but they are taught. So once you teach the habit, they will take over. So I think it's so important that we teach our kids first about these healthy habits as we learn what to give our bodies. And we have learned through great programming and great teaching and knowledge in school that we have both gone through as well, what to give the body. It's so important that we know what to give our kids. But it's important that we give them the proper nutrients early. The minerals are number one exactly for kids to have early because they have to have the brain function to be able to carry out the duties of playing sports. It doesn't seem like it, but you are more mentally drained than you are physical as a kid. Physically, kids can go almost all day. But once they become mentally drained, then they shut down on you, especially with football. When you get kids tackling on one another, hitting each other and running and the pass and the noise all day for hours, they easily get mentally drained and they will shut down on you. So it's so good to know that if you give the kids what they need, the nutrients, especially the minerals, as we mentioned before, but once we give the kids what they deserve and need, man, it helps them recover so much quicker from injuries. It helps them recover from sickness that they get even during the season of the weather change. Everything helps them as young men and women, and it creates healthy habits. And believe it or not, the kids take over the parents. And once you teach the kids, they tell the parents, hey, mom, I need to take my supplements, and you need to take the supplements as well. So you creating history and you creating a legacy by teaching the kids early about nutrition, about health, about taking care of the body from the inside out. So important to create those early habits.
Well, those early habits include the things that we should not be putting into our mouth that has been marketed as being fun food, quick, easy food. Even some of the stuff that they say is healthy actually is doing more harm than good. And I'm a product of that for finding nutrition. I was doing all the things that they said was healthy and I was getting sick and sick. Now you've had some experiences with overcoming some challenges using nutrition as well.
Yes, exactly. So many, but the thing that really opened my eyes was you look at your family history and the legacy you're trying to create. And my family had a history of blood pressure and heart problems. And I lost a family member really young. And also my father passed away as a young man, 51 years old. Then I lost my oldest brother at 51 years old. Both oneness to my brother passed away early with kidney failure. And my father had some blood pressure issues and ended up having a heart attack at 51 years old. And with that, I began to do research and not wanting to create that legacy for me and my family. I did the research to understand what the body needed and what to give the body. And it's amazing how simple the adjustment needed to give the body what it needs to avoid these long-term health issues that can be very, very hard on your body, the family, and your family history. We had to really get into giving our body what it needs. And I also had some major injuries. I had an ACL reconstruction. And had a very bad military surgery in the process that created some side effects that I thought were permanent. But the body is so unique. When you give your body what it needs, I recovered from that surgery, and my body has definitely been doing so much better from the time that I started taking care of it properly and giving it what it needed.
And starting kids out early, it's never too early to start working with the body. And you have the connective tissue. I mean, we're talking about skin, tendons, ligaments, muscles, all of those things that hold us together and need extra support that minerals play into. I don't know about your injury, but I know with my injuries, if I had been supporting them, they probably would not have happened. Exactly. And my injury started when I was in high school with connective tissue. now I just have a passion to really work with families and making sure that their kids are getting that nutritional support early so that they don't have to experience the pain and discomfort that later comes in life because of breakdown that's caused by nutritional deficiencies.
Well, the beautiful thing, the beautiful thing is about nutrition and proper nutrition. So it's so good to give kids what they need early, and you can give them plenty of it, because a lot of people are scared to give their kids the wrong nutrition or the wrong medication because they're scared they're going to overdose or give them too much or not give it to them properly. But the beautiful thing about real natural health, natural health, is that you can't give too much. Your body takes what it needs, and when it don't need anything, it gets rid of it, but you can give them as much as you want. That's the beauty of it.
When we say natural, it's in the natural state too, the way that it occurs in nature. I mean, exactly. Whenever I look at a box of food that says it's enriched with all these, you know, 12 vitamins and minerals and even more, but they've been stripped out of their natural state. And for the body, some of those things that have been stripped away are things that the body needs to be able to actually metabolize and assimilate and utilize those nutrients within the body and deep into the cells. So I love the fact that you really focused on natural and doing things in a natural way, where unfortunately in farming, those nutrients have been stripped out of the soil.
Exactly.
So share with us a little bit what you know about farming and how nutrition has changed over the years.
Well, that's a very unique question, and I love it, because coming in Mississippi, I remember the land and the dirt with so many different colors, and just driving to some of my friends' gardens, you could smell those tomatoes from the time you're driving the yard. You could smell a peach out of my grandparents' yard. I mean, just driving up, you know, a peach. I mean, you could tell when those peaches were ripe. And now today, with them putting houses they were in, tainting the land, it's such a big difference in what we had and what the kids have today. So when you find a company or someone has set aside, reserved the land just for its natural purpose and natural way, it's so important that we give ourselves that what is 100% real for us, because things have changed so much from when we came up until now that everything was processed, and going to fast food was really specialty time. We never go for fast food, and everybody was cooking and warming things up in the stove or on top of the stove in the oven. And today everything is quick and processed. So to find a company and find someone who's still doing things in his natural state definitely gives your body an advantage over anyone who's trying to do anything so quick and so processed, to where our kids need you and the company that you deal with to take this time to take care of your body. Because when you give your body so much process, then you cannot filter all those things that's going through your body correctly. So it's good that you have something in its natural state. And I'm just saying, the soil is so different now that a fruit is not a fruit compared to the way we grew up. Just the tomato alone. I remember getting tomatoes and it was so ripe. You can wipe it on your shirt and bite it, and it was literally sweet. Now it'd be hard to find the same kind of fruit and vegetable that we have.
I remember used to being able to smelling like a cantaloupe to see if it's ripe.
Yeah. Yes.
Now nothing has any smell. You cut into it, everything is picked so green. By the time it gets to the store, it looks ripe, but it just does not have the flavor and the nutrition that it would otherwise if it was coming right out of the garden or right out of the field. There's a big difference. I can totally relate to that peach. We had a peach orchard growing up, and I was spoiled. I cannot buy a peach from the store. It just turns my stomach.
I just can imagine the difference in the peach compared to what you were getting out of your yard, because of the soil and the dirt and the minerals that was enriched in the land when we grew up, because we didn't have houses everywhere and we didn't dig in the dirt and build buildings everywhere and taint the land like it is at this point. But it was just such a difference in the land. It was easier to get earlier. So now we have to supplement, and you have to trust and find the right company to supplement with so that you can give your kids the same legacy that we're looking to have, time, health, and wealth in the same place.
Going back to the kids and sports, with them doing so much exercise, in the winter, you don't really think of sweating. Even in the winter, kids that are active in sports are using a lot of the nutrients and losing the nutrients. Share with us a little bit about what happens when you're not intentionally supplementing, when you're doing either an exercise program or kids involved in sports.
Whenever you're dealing with kids in sports or any activity that causes exertion, that when you're doing anything like that, you're giving out. And whenever you're giving out nutrients or sweating or making the body exert itself to a certain extent, you begin to give out your soup, your main nutrients, the things that matter. And it doesn't seem like it because of the weather, it may be a little cooler, but you're still sweating and you're still exerting yourself. And when you do that, you're getting rid of the important stuff. It's just the fact that what you put out, you need to give your body back. A lot of people will put out their nutrients and fill it back up with water or Gatorade or certain sports drinks that only have sodium and potassium. But we know that the body needs nutrients and they need minerals and need lots of them. So basically what we teach, whatever you put out in your sweat, you need to put it back in. So a lot of kids or people weigh themselves and whatever you lose, you need to put it back in your body the same amount, but all nutrients. So it's very important that we give the kids back what they put out. So many kids die early. So many kids have heart attacks and strokes while working out. And you just look at their young physical body. But what they have done, they have exhausted themselves to the point where they have dehydrated either their brain or their heart, or exerted themselves so much that we forget to give them back what they put out. And it's very important that we give them the nutrients so your body continue to run. Like we always say, if your car has a busted radiator, you don't just put water back in there. You have to put radiator fluid back in because that's what came out of there. And that's what makes it run better. So we give ourselves back what we lose. So important for kids.
It is important not to be frugal, just try to skate by on nutrition and hope that because they're young, they'll be able to bounce back. Well, why make it an issue of them having to bounce back when it is so possible to provide what they need to keep them strong? I know with my kids, they almost never get sick. And if it is, it's a little sniffle and then they're done. And they know that it has to do with the nutrition.
Well, there's something that we can't avoid in this. Every person, everybody is different. But when it does happen to you, it's how you react and what your body does with it. A lot of people, I never get sick or I never do this. But the thing is, if you do get sick, like you just said, if I catch a cold now, I give myself maybe a day or two and I'm back to myself. And most people say 3 to 5 days and I'm 1 to 2 days on any sickness pretty much. Because you give your body what it needs in long term, it definitely give you back what you're asking for in short term. It's worth the investment. I know we're not here to cure or to sell a cure or anything, but the truth is prevention is better than cure, as it said in health when you're taking care of your body. So to prevent something is much better than trying to cure. I love that saying, early investment in yourself.
And whenever you're proactive rather than reactive, it's so much cheaper. Looking back through my life and the surgeries that they wanted to do and the MRIs and all those expenses, that I can understand where people are, I'll just let insurance take care of it, because it is just so expensive. But now there's things that I've been able to avoid even after being in poor health with degenerative bone and disc disease and arthritis. And I hate to say it, and people have a hard time realizing that I've lost 100 pounds because I don't have those saggy skin. But I know that that has to do with the nutrition that I was doing to keep my connective tissue, my skin, tight and healthy all through it as well. It really is, and I hope everybody realizes that you are worth investing in.
Yes, Absolutely. You know, sometimes you don't think about the investment that you make in other arenas of your life, but your health is going to always be your biggest investment. And I remember thinking about the legacy of my father and his family, and they all passed away, or most of his mom and his dad and himself, they passed away from high blood pressure. And when I talked to our naturopath doctor and the company that I deal with, what it takes to prevent high blood pressure. And I remember being 35 years old, and my blood pressure was so high that I was thinking like, man, I hope that I'm not just leading the same path of my father and my relatives. And when I was told what to do for my blood pressure and what it costs, I really made the sacrifice of, I stopped everything. I cut my cell phone bill, I lowered the cable. I was like, these are important as your health. Because I wanted to build a legacy of good health in my family. And even to this day, my boys still, they seek the best health direction for themselves as well, because I cut a lot of the eating out that we were doing, for us fried foods, sugar, sodas, all the things that created bad habits, so I can start the right legacy for my family. But I was willing to make the sacrifice that I would not just be another young Black male, letting myself go and dying of high blood pressure like my father did, or his mother and his father as well. We have to be willing to make those small sacrifices to have the great reward later. So important.
Well, and I'm glad that you talked about the legacy of your family, and where blood pressure and blood sugar issues and arthritis, cancers, they are not genetic. What may have inherited is the way we eat.
That's right.
And that's something that we have the most control over.
Yes. And people think the inheritance is down in the bloodline of what's happening to you, but it's what you inherit are the habits that they had, that you have, and you just carry them with you. Now you think that it's genetic, but it's not genetic. You just carry on the same habits. That's why we were talking about our youth and teaching them football early, unity early, teaching them how to come together early, how to eat right, supplement correctly, because we have to create healthy habits for ourselves to have the legacy that we're seeking.
Absolutely. Okay, so what is one thing that you've seen youth eat that you can think of a better alternative for? I know, pop question, I didn't tell you about this.
Well, what I really learned about was, it's not that you eat so bad for your meal, it's what you eat between your meals. And what I learned to do, that's to snack better. Dealing with the right people in a company, I've learned to have healthy snacks in between my meals, so that when you get so hungry, they tell you never eat when you're hungry, or don't wait till you get hungry, because you binge eat or you got the first thing close. So what I stopped doing was buying so much sugar or candy cakes, cookies, and snacking terrible. So what I learned how to do is I prepare my snacks early, I get healthy snacks, I get nutritious snacks, and then I have things that close to me when it's time to eat. So the one thing that I could do better, I snack much better than I used to. And I remember this, the doctor that mentored me told me that when you get ready to snack, give yourself a cap full of minerals and then cut your snacking. And that's what I learned. So I would either take a mineral cap or I'll take a cap full of minerals. And man, my snacking habits has cut down almost to zero compared to what I was doing.
And I'll take minerals and I'll add it into my favorite drinks. So oh, wow. I make my favorite drinks even healthy.
There
so
you
no
go.
Matter yeah. what the drink is, I love that I can enhance it so quickly and make it something that's healthy for my body that supports my goal. And my goal is to be young, not just age-wise, but physically, so that I can continue to support and play with my grandkids.
And that's a beautiful goal, though. Beautiful, beautiful goal. And you're doing it, though. You are.
I am doing it. I love our dance offs. So they're teaching me dance. I'm doing the best I can to keep up. And it's only keeping up with the moves. It's not physically keeping up.
I was going to say, the beauty is being able to be in there, to keep up. Or the moves may be a little bit different to do, but you're able to do it and you're able to get out there with them. And so many people don't have that. And man, you know, your story, I know a lot of your story, and it's so beautiful to see, because it's not the age, it's the activity, and it's what we do to ourselves and give ourselves, because we have great stories to see and to say and to tell about our lifestyle.
The best thing about it is I didn't know that I could make these changes, but now that I do know, I want everybody to know that they can choose the life they want. They can choose what direction they want their health to go in. Even in poor health, it's never too late to change the direction of your health. I'm going to say, I probably shouldn't say never, because there are different stages of things that, you know, there is a point of no return. But I think we get enough early signs. We get those red lights that come on, that if we pay attention to our body, there's a lot that we can do.
Most people know when there's something not right, but we have to have the faith and the courage to actually take action. And that's the thing about health. It is a sense of urgency for all ages, for the unity, for the legacy, for the timing of our families. People say that you can work slow, or you can work fast, or you can do different things. But the truth is, when you're dealing with health, you do need a sense of urgency. There's a small gap between the time that you could have done something and you could, and there's a big difference. And when you start early, so when you start early, you get better results, and you help your family members a lot earlier when you start early, and you have a sense of urgency. So I tell anyone, when we talk about these kids and talk about diversity and urgency, the most important thing is to start fast. Start fast with your health, take it serious, and tell as many people as you can think of about the changes that you're making, you intended to make, and that you would like for them to make, if you know some changes they should be making as well. Because there is a such thing as urgency, and there's a such thing as time matters. Time does matter. That's something you can't get back.
It really, really does matter. And unfortunately, we are out of time on Better by the Minute Live. So that worked out just right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Rod, thank you so much. I hope to have you back again, because I know you have so many different things that you have that you can share with us that would help us see the brighter side of life. We appreciate you. God bless you. Be safe in all that you do.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. I look forward to seeing you real, real soon. Thank you so much, Vic.
All right. Thank you again so much, Rod, for joining us this evening. We just appreciate all that you had to share. Don't forget to check out my website, Better by the Minute Life, where you will be able to listen to my previous episodes and meet my guests and more information about them and myself on betterbytheminutelife.com. You are listening to KSCO 1080 AM Santa Cruz. Have a great night. Bye for now.